This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. You are on the new Escape Hour. My name is Russ Masterton, and we do have opposite me
Tad Lombardo, and we're going to be talking a lot of food and travel, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be very exciting,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
So we've got a whole hour for the next 12 weeks where we will be telling you what's hot in travel and what's hot in food, and we're going to take you to places and to eat things that you never thought possible,
and maybe even what's not hot, possibly.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yep. Take it as it goes.
Ted, my friend, you've had a busy, busy food week. What's been going on?
My voice probably sounds a bit tired today, but yeah, it's been a huge week for food and wine and Melbourne and Australia in general. We had the World's 50 Best Awards on Wednesday night. I was very, very privileged and lucky to have been able to attend it, which was incredible. And for anyone who doesn't know what the awards are, it's basically like the Oscars of food.
How exciting.
And having the event in Melbourne is also likened to hosting the Summer Olympics in the city. It's that big.
Wow.
And you know, fortunately, with the help of Visit Victoria, Tourism Australia, they were able to secure the awards to come here. Generally, they're held in London every year.
Did they put in a bid? And
well, basically, that's yep, exactly right. And yep, and you know, they decide where it was going to be. Obviously, you know, Melbourne being the food capital of Australia made sense to have it here. It was just one of those situations where they only started shopping it around or traveling it around. Last year it was in New York, first time they did it outside of London. And then this year's Melbourne, and they haven't yet announced where it's going to be next year. I think that's coming in the weeks.
So what a big coup for Melbourne. That's enormous. So
it's amazing.
You and the food industry must think, wow, I can't believe we've just hosted the most important event of the year.
It was like that. I mean, there was something like, you know, obviously 50 chefs that came out with the restaurants, something like 70, you know, international media were brought out as well. 26 Academy chairs who run the voting system were here. So the focus was on Melbourne, and that's amazing. And it was really quite a proud moment too, because, you know, all of the produce that we have and that we know and love in Melbourne, Victoria, and Australia, that was on show during the entire proceedings, and it was quite incredible when you looked at it all, and just seeing all these people who probably never have seen some of these things before in real life.
Wow.
It was incredible.
What's the judging criteria for something like that, Ted?
There is a list of, I think it's about 900 judges around the world. Rule is that they include chefs, journalists, you know, people of note who obviously have a lot of knowledge in food, obviously. Yeah. And the person voting, if they're approved, they have to have visited that restaurant.
Wow.
Or they can't vote for them. So that's one of the challenges we have in Australia, being so far away.
Yeah.
A lot of the voting people don't get to come out here because it's just such a remote place. But that's starting to change. You know, there's two Australian restaurants in the top 50 this year. Number 32 is Attica, which is an amazing restaurant,
and that result kind of blew you away, didn't it?
It did, and you know, and for the fifth year in a row, Attica was also the number one restaurant in Australasia, which is an incredible thing. And then number 44 was Bray, Dan Hunter's Bray, which is out in the country. Again, you know, having more than one restaurant, I mean, having one is amazing, but having two just draws that much more attention to what we do well here in food, which is a lot. So,
and it's considering it's a worldwide event for two Aussie restaurants to be in there. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And not only that, there's a couple on the list, you know, Australian chefs, who are based in London and other parts of the world, you know, that have been on the list as well. It draws a bit of attention to the food scene here. And of course the food scene was probably very different 15 years ago when these awards started. It's really evolved a lot in the last 15 years, and I think we have a lot to be proud of, and we do a lot right here when it comes to food and service and all of that. So it's quite interesting.
And you say that Melbourne's the food capital of Australia.
Yeah.
And you say that from your heart, obviously.
I do,
why do you think that?
I think that obviously the way that multiculturalism is celebrated in Melbourne, and Victoria as well, you know, there's a sense of inclusion, whether you're from another country or you're you know, LGBTIQ, you know, you're welcome here, and yeah. And the government puts that message out quite regularly.
Right.
But I think embracing all of those things has helped the food evolve. Just with coffee, for example, you know, Italian immigration is what brought coffee to Melbourne,
right?
And we are now exporting that expertise of the cafe culture to other cities like New York City. There's cafes that have been opened called Burke Street or you know, and that's
wonderful.
It's just transferring that knowledge and that cafe culture there, which is quite incredible. And so I think that's the other thing too. You know, I think Melbourne people are very open to new things and very open to embracing new ideas, and I think that transfers to the food directly, and that's why this is such a, you know, 15 years ago, 22 years ago when I moved here, the food culture was very different than what it is right now. Yep. And you know, at that time, really a lot of the chefs looked outside of Australia, outside of Melbourne, for the inspiration, and now it's the other way around. People are looking in for that here because they see how well it's done.
That's awesome.
It is.
So you, who was the number one restaurant?
Number one restaurant was a restaurant in New York City called 11 Madison Park, which brings us into our...
Have you dined there?
I haven't. No, I didn't.
You want to, though?
I would like to. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course. Probably not a snowball's chance in hell in doing it now that they're number one, but they're booked out.
Imagine what the waiting list will be
like. Exactly, yeah. Which is... great for them, obviously. It's one of those scenarios where it's obviously going to change their lives.
Yep.
For a very long time. But it doesn't matter where you're on the list. You know, being on the list is important, and it'll change the life of any business or any restaurant dramatically, which is great.
Well, locally, for example, with Attica, is that an easy restaurant to get into? If they've been the number one restaurant for the past 5 years, is that something that our listeners would need to book in advance? And
yeah, Attica's was... They're 32 this year, last year 33, yeah.
Yep.
Generally the lead time is about 3 months.
Believe
really?
It or
not. Yeah, and wow. It's been like that for a long time. Yep. Which again, it's great for the business model, but yep. It can be frustrating, I guess, for some of the guests trying to get in and you know, we have a release, there's a release day on a certain day of the week, and people sometimes get a bit frustrated when it's, you know, booked up straight away.
But, what's your favorite dish there?
Well, it's always changing. That's the thing. And I think that's my favorite part of it. It's always changing. And, you know, whatever you try or whatever is created, I've never not had a dish that I've liked there. Uh-huh. That's just one of those things. And I think it's also in embracing things that you might not have eaten before, or it's not something you would normally gravitate to, but you sort of, you taste the dish in the genre it was meant, you know, as far as the inspiration, the story, and that's all part of it. It's not just eating the food.
And for our listeners who aren't foodies, what price would you know, is it an expensive eat at Attica, or is it something that you could just go along and you know, think, well, this restaurant's won an award, I want to go and check it out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the menu is a tasting menu, so it's quite extensive. It's about, I think it's about 17 or 18 courses, and that changes. And you know, so it, you know, it's an investment to go and dine there, obviously, because there's a lot behind the scenes that get into taking that ingredient or those ingredients and putting them onto a dish.
Yeah.
You know, there's a huge amount of work that goes into that and labor. So it's about, I think it's about $250 or $260 per person at the moment, and I actually think that's good value
right.
for what you get, you know.
All right, well, it's got me very interested.
Yeah.
You know, I'm feeling hungry while we're talking about it. And did you frock up for your big event?
I did. I wore.
Were you looking glam?
I thought I was. Yeah. There's a photo on my Instagram account, so I don't know, people can be the judge. But I actually enjoyed it. I've never really been to a red carpet event like that, so it was a lot of fun for me.
Yep.
And it was great. It was just a great buzz. Everybody was there for the right reasons, and it was a lot of fun. And like I said, it brought a lot to Melbourne. And yep. You know, to be able to hold it at it was at the Royal Exhibition Centre building in Carlton, so it was the most beautiful backdrop, and the lighting and everything was just stunning. And it was really, really a special night.
And
from that
great networking for a foodie like you.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful weather. Melbourne turned on the weather, which was good too.
Yes.
So you know, it was really a special night for everybody, I think.
How wonderful. Thank you for listening this week. This is the
great.
Escape Hour.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.